Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy to have Asia Voigt as my guest today. When you love animals, the most magical thing in the world would be if you could hear them talk, wouldn't it? Imagine knowing exactly what your animal companions are saying. You do know they're communicating with you. Today, end frustration and pain by learning the profoundly simple steps to open the connection with your dogs, cats, and horses, thereby giving even greater joy to your life. Join us for a conversation about communicating with your animals and living your music. Hello, Asia.
Hello. I'm so excited to be on your show. Thank you for having me here today.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm excited to have you on my show. I have seen you through Facebook for years and just have always been so curious to talk to you about this unique way that you're living your music by communicating with animals. It's just such a fascinating topic, and I love animals, and I know a lot of my listeners love animals, and so I thought it would be perfect to have you on the show today.
Now, thank you, and that is what I feel every day that I am communicating with the animals. I am amazed. I am inspired and in awe of the wisdom that the animals know about themselves and about the people that they live with. So, I've been doing this work full-time now for 19 years, and
wow.
You would think, like, yeah, I know, 19 years, woo! And it doesn't dull. The awe, the amazement, the inspiration that I feel, the excitement, every day, every time I'm talking to the animals. So I would love for every pet mom and dad to be able to have that deeper, next level of fantastic connection that I'm sure they already feel with their fur children.
Their fur children, yeah. I see a lot of people call them fur babies on Facebook, and so I've kind of taken up calling our cat Bender our fur baby, and it is like that. You feel like they're another child and another family member if you really love them, that is, I guess, and hopefully people that don't love them don't have them. So I know that everyone that has an animal in their house or animals in their house would love to know more about this. How did you start communicating with animals? How did that happen?
Well, there's a couple of parts, and I'll share briefly with you. First was when I was a child, and I thought everyone communicated with animals. And I was 5 years old and playing outside in my front yard, and an older neighbor child was over, and this golden-colored dog comes bounding over to us and was just saying, which I thought she could hear too, how awful its family is, and that the dog has to at least one time a day, just run away from them because they were just so loud and just so nasty. And my 8-year-old friend looks at me and says, how did you know that about the dog and its family? I'm like, what are you talking about? The dog, it's saying it out loud right now. And she said, wow. She said, I know you're only 5 years old. You're not allowed out of your yard, so you wouldn't have actually seen that family, and they live like 3 blocks away.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen the police at their house, that they're so loud. And that's true. That is absolutely true. So you must be talking to this dog, but I've never heard of that. I was like, what? What are you talking about? You don't talk to animals? She's like, no, and I don't know anybody who does. And I think, because I'm 8 years old, I would think that everyone would think that's a little strange, so you better keep it to yourself.
So did you for a long time? Did you keep it to yourself for a long time or not?
I did. I really wish I would have been one of those just sassy children and would just went, I'm not keeping this to myself. This is the best part of my day. But I got kind of scared. And especially when she said, people think that's weird or that you're weird. And I didn't want that. So I did. I kept it to myself. And then when I was a teenager, I started hearing people's thoughts really loud and clear. And it was really hard for me to get that the people that I hung around with, like my family, they didn't really say what they meant. So I would be hearing two conversations. Yes, the truth about what happened and then what was coming out of their mouth, which were really far apart.
Wow.
Yeah. And that, actually one of my family members got angry at me when I said, no, this is what's really going on. Mm-hmm. I could hear it in his mind. And they were not fascinated by my telepathic abilities. And so I just asked for it to turn off. And it did for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then in December of 1987, I was in a very severe car accident that I had a 3% chance that of living, only 3% chance that I would live. And I did have a near-death experience. Yeah. And during my near-death experience, I met with some angels and Jesus and ascended masters, and it was fantastic. And one of the things they invited me to do is come back to Earth and reawaken my ability to communicate with animals.
Oh. How awesome. That is, I love this. This is so amazing. Well, I'm sure you've probably heard of Anita Murjani, right?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Yeah, and I love her story about her near-death experience. And when, you know, I think because of hearing hers, it's prepared me to even be more open to going, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. You know, instead of saying, wow, that couldn't have happened. But, you know, the more you hear about near-death experiences, the more you realize that there's a lot more to life than we realize. And I think that is so wonderful. So so after that happened, you started communicating with animals more? How then what happened?
Yeah, well, I had a pretty intensive recovery that I had focused on. And part of the really sad thing that happened during that car accident that I was in was that two of my dogs died in it.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, it was so horrible for me, and I had so much guilt and pain that I didn't get them out, that I didn't save them, that I kind of went unconscious about that for a while. But on the other part of it, I wanted to adopt another dog from a shelter that reminded me of one of the dogs that had died. And I was so sad and depressed that I thought, maybe, you know, this will help me and help another dog. So I did find a dog that was exactly like the dog that had passed, because she had such an unusual coat, like a Catahoula leopard dog lab Australian Shepherd mix.
That's hard to picture.
Yeah, et cetera, et cetera. And so she was a handful, this dog was, and would drag me and knock me down and growl at me and bite at me. And I'm like, what on earth did I get myself into? And I took her to dog training, and the trainer even is like, you guys are horrible. I'm kicking you out of class. I'm like, what? How can you kick us out of class? We need your help. So that was the moment I realized, like, 911 here. I need to get my animal communication abilities turned on now, because either I'm going to end up back in the hospital for her, you know, dinging me up so bad, or I'm going to have to return her to the shelter and she'll probably be put down.
Oh,
so
no.
That, yeah, it was just that moment of intensity. Like, this can't wait. I am not finding the answer anyplace else for us. It's got to be this telepathic communication, and I need to remember, and I need this to get going here. And so I just sat down with her, and her name was Makeba. So I said, Makeba, I need to talk to you. We need to open up a heart-to-heart telepathic channel and connection. Are you willing to do that with me so we can both heal and transform our relationship? And I couldn't hear her at that moment, but I felt like a flutter sensation in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to take that as a yes, because it felt pretty good. It felt like a positive sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I started, and I just kept practicing with her every day until I started hearing words and pictures and sensations, and just, you know, step by step. And this is really what anyone can do. It's just starting with that desire and passion, and either for love or desperation, and coming forward and letting your animal companion know, all right, I'm going to practice. I'm going to open up, and I'm going to listen. Let's find a way we can talk to each other.
So is part of your work teaching the people to communicate with their own animals? Is that part of what you do then, or?
It is. I have formal classes that I teach, and I have been teaching for about 18 years, and
mm-hmm.
I love being a teacher because I can really help, you know, not only teach the basics of do this, do that, but I can look at what's happening energetically between my student and their animal. And it's called tracking. So I can really track the energy and see, where are the blocks? Why are they not getting through to one another? So I love doing that. And so then during, you know, one-on-one sessions that I do with clients, you know,
mm-hmm.
I probably would do most of the talking and translating for their animal, and
mm-hmm.
then give them tips on the end of it of such things like, when you are communicating with your animal, say what you want, not what you don't want. Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, for example, so many people will say to their dog, don't bark. Right?
It's just like
right?
humans, right? You know, our subconscious mind ignores the don't.
Exactly. And even if you just say that to yourself right now and pay attention to what's happening to the images in your mind, you probably are flashing an image of a barking dog.
Mm-hmm.
When you say don't bark, even yourself, you go to an image of a barking dog. And so then your dog thinks, well, they want me to bark.
Right, right.
Because they can pick up on the images more than the words. And so you would want to say instead, silence of your vocal cords, or stop, and then send them the sensation of your quiet throat, your relaxed jaw. And
wow,
like,
that's really fascinating. And, you know, it sounds to me like it would also be good for the people who are taking the classes to learn about how to communicate with their animals, to start learning how to communicate with themselves in ways that work better.
Yes, exactly. And I really find a number of times that some of the naughtiest and sassiest animal companions that I speak with for my clients are
mm-hmm.
actually the wisest. And they are throwing out all the antics that they can come up with to really help their person learn about themselves, how
mm-hmm.
to heal themselves, or how to change their lives. And as soon as everyone gets it, right, the person gets it, then the dog gets it, And I really feel as though I've been so successful in my career for 19 years. I mean, not a lot of businesses can say that. They all heal. They're all transformed. And tens of thousands of people contact me saying, wow, my dog that was running away, like the minute after we had our conversation and I made a decision that I was going to change certain things in my life, and my dog is not running away anymore. because you're going to be leading the life you're supposed to be leading, not something else, and running away from your problems. You know, sometimes the animals try to do like these metaphors for what's happening with their, you know, their mamas and their daddies and their, you know, companions. Oh, but many words to describe those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is. You know, I have to say that Bender, our cat, our Russian blue cat,
mm-hmm.
who I just absolutely adore, he is definitely our fur baby, and he has taught me so much. He has definitely been a teacher in my life of being more in the moment, being both relaxed and alert, being flexible, remembering to stretch. I mean, there's just so many things that he teaches me to do. And it's just... you know, and also just to be more kind and be more loving, and realize that being loving is partly just being gentle and speaking to someone or yourself in a kind way, and doing things like getting him his food and getting him his water and taking good care of him, and then realizing, hey, I need to do that for myself too. If I love myself, I need to take better care of myself. I remember hearing this person say one time that somebody they knew took better care of their horses than they did of themselves. And I think that's probably true of a lot of pet parents, is that a lot of them probably do take better care of their animals than themselves.
Yes, absolutely. And even to the level of some of my clients, like, okay, I have my dog's bed located here. Do they like it there, or do they want it 1 foot over to the right? I'm like, well, let's find out. You know,
let's find out if they even care if it's that.
Right.
You know, exactly. In that place.
So, well, it's I'm always amazed at all of the questions that people want to know from the dogs and cats and horses.
It must be amazing. I just, you know, we're at kind of a little bit of a pause, so I want to ask the questions that I like my listeners to think about during the show, because
mm-hmm.
you're doing such an incredible job of living your music in your own unique way, and by living your music, as we talked about before the show, is it's doing what you feel called to do, and it can be in one way or two ways or three ways or multiple ways. But I want every one of you out there listening to think about, what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And Asia, I feel like what you're doing is just such a gift to help people and their animals be able to understand each other better and to learn from each other and to communicate with each other. That is so cool.
Oh, well, thank you. And I love the question that you're asking. And when I think about that and how I really got started as a profession, as a career as an animal communicator, the things that were in place is, one, I had already had 50 different jobs, like 50. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a lot to go, like, why don't I feel inspired by any of these other jobs? And I can quit them in a second. something is not right. You know, that I'm not having a soul connection to this. And then when I found out that animal communication was a career option, which I hadn't even realized, I was like, oh, my God, that's what I want to do. And I was at a place in my life, too. You know, now if I would think about it and if I really had, like, okay, logically looked at something, which isn't always smart. I mean, we really can get stopped by the logic of it versus listening to the music. When there is that music, our heart is just open and flowing, and we trust that the next note, then the next movement and sound is going to follow. It's going to be there. And when we step into the logic of it, it's just like a lockdown. You might as well just call it lockdown. And
well, the logic of it is when you get into, as they're called, the cursed hows. How is that going to happen? How is that realistic? You know?
Right. Oh, I love that. Yes.
Yeah.
And I was blessed that I had actually had my car accident, and I was just thinking now, you know, I did get a little money from the settlement of the truck driver that crashed into me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this moment where I wasn't thinking about, like, is this financially sound? Am I going to be able to make a living on this? Because probably most people would be, like, hesitant. Like, that would be a big concern. And I was like, oh, I've got some money. I'm going to take these classes. This is what I'm going to do. I know I'm going to love it. And right, really was in the magic and the music of it. And that's how it went. And it is. You have to trust that music, and that's where the delight is. That's where the inspiration, and you know you're on Earth for the right reason, and you're not missing this opportunity.
Yeah, and I love that, too, because the thing is that what people need to realize is that there is no one right thing for everyone. Everyone has to listen to their own heart and their own spirit about what calls them, what they feel inspired to do. And inspiration is, as Wayne Dyer loved to say, is so different than motivation. Inspiration comes from being in spirit and being connected to that feeling of inspiration. And it sounds like you luckily were able to do it, and it's, we're running out of time. We've only got 7 minutes left, and I think I'm going to have you on again sometime so that we can talk more about how you do all these things and how people can do it. But since we talked about that we were going to let people know a little bit about what they can do to get started, one of the things they could do probably is get your ebook from your website, right, the Pet Talk?
Yes, and I hear you had a chance to look at it, and it is fantastic. I mean, it is adorable and insightful and not overwhelming, just the right amount to, got someone started. So they can find that on my website, and once they know my name, they can also find me on Facebook. And so that's Asia, A-S-I-A. And then Voigt, V as in Victor, OIGHT.com. And otherwise, Asia Voigt on Facebook can send me a friend request. And I also have a fan page that probably pops up when you type in my name, that you can like that page too. So.
Cool. Well, I'm also going to be sending out my e-newsletter this afternoon, the one that I send for my show, the Love Your Music e-news, and you're going to be the star of that today.
Oh, so thank you.
Your website will be in there, and I'll make sure that I get your Facebook link so that I can put that in there as well. So during the last 5 minutes, what are some steps that people could use to get started listening to animals, what their animals are saying?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, and then I'm going to add to that, it's really, first of all, having that intention and connecting with that burning desire of your heart to want to communicate and know when your animal companion needs something, or when they're in pain, do they need to go to the vet? What do they want to eat? Is it time to pass into spirit, right? Those things are so important. So really connecting with that desire and that intention that you're going to take the steps to reach out and do that. So that's really the first part. And then the second part is taking some time to sit with your animal companions. Because we love them so much, they're always willing to share with us, aren't they? I've probably only had two animals out of maybe 80,000 that I've communicated with that didn't want to talk to me. Only two.
Mm. Wow.
And and then one of them, I waited a month and asked again, and then that said yes that time. With that other dog, it never wanted to talk to me. So, okay. But I'm sure your own animal companion will be like, yeah, let's talk. And just making the time to sit quietly and say, what are the sensations? What is that energy that we can tap into, that we can form a communication? And as I mentioned with my dog, Makiba, I felt that heart flutter from her. And I knew, okay, that's my signal for a yes from you. And then eventually we learn, okay, what is the no? And my no from her was kind of like a heavy feeling in my stomach, just like a rock was hitting the bottom of my belly, like clunk. So that's what I started with, and I kept the intention open, and I stated that my desire was that I would be hearing her, the words, the feelings would expand, and that I would start to see pictures from her. And it did. It did, and everyone can communicate with animals. It's not just me. I went through the process, too, even though I had it as a child. I turned it off. I relearned it as an adult, and you can do the same thing, too. And it's available to everyone.
You know, when you were saying that about the heart flutter and the feeling in your stomach, I realized that I do that with Bender. You know, I can... When he's really, we're communicating, I do feel that flutter, you know, and I do feel like, I don't hear the actual words, but I do feel like I can know what he's feeling and what he's wanting, whether he's wanting some time alone or he's wanting some time with me. And I'm going to really pay more attention to that and use that intention, though, to hear more of what he's telling me. I love that.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome, exactly. And the other word that you said is paying attention. That's the other, you know, part about getting started here is, yeah, sitting quietly or paying attention, really tuning in to your energy body and your physical body. What's being passed here? You know, because as you said, there's so much more to our world, the kind of the behind-the-scenes energy exchange that those who are interested in listening to their music and opening their hearts and connecting with spirit, that's the juicy, that's the yummy part of being here on Earth, and we want as much of that as we can get.
Yes, I am saying yes. I totally agree. Oh, Asia, it's been so much fun talking with you. We only have a minute left, and I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show today and for creating your little ebook, Pet Talk, and for all you're doing to help animals and people enjoy their time on this beautiful planet. I just really appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you for creating the space for that to happen, and I really have loved being on your show.
Oh, thank you. Well, everyone out there, listen to what your animals are saying and get an intention to hear what they're saying, and check out Asia's website and start communicating with your animals. I love that. Thank you so much, Asia. Thank you for living your music. I really, really am glad that you are.
Oh, absolutely. And to you, all my blessings.
Blessings. Blessings to everyone. Bye for now, everyone. I will be back next week. Talk to you later. Bye, Asia.
Bye-bye.
Bye.